Daniel chapter 6 tonight. I love that song that we just sang. And it really goes well with this series. And, you know, part of it talks about how God is unshaken by the schemes of men. And we're going to talk tonight about some schemes of men that came about. He's never changing. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. Man, hasn't that been true of this series that we're talking about? And we'll get into that in just a minute. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall, but God is faithful through it all. And that's what we're going to talk tonight about, faithfulness. We're going to talk tonight about the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of a man, the man Daniel that we see here in this passage. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll look at the passage and see what God has for us tonight. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this evening that you've given us together. I pray, God, that now for the next several minutes, you'd help us to put aside our distractions and to focus on your word. Lord, we pray that you teach us tonight and that we'd be willing to listen and to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look with me at Daniel chapter 6, and now look back at chapter 5, verse number 31. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 80 years old. Verse 1 of chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, and the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. It's interesting, as we've looked at this study, really, kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. We've seen in just a matter of the few weeks that we've been studying this together, and really it's only been a matter of 70 or so years, that we've seen multiple kingdoms come and multiple kingdoms go. It was the Assyrians who the Babylonians took basically the world from. The Assyrians had ruled the entire world for over 500 years. And that seemed like a pretty long time. And it's interesting that now the Bible talks about the Medes coming in and taking over this known world from the Babylonians. Well, an interesting fact that we should know is that it was actually the Babylonians and the Medes who were the first to actually attack Assyria. And they attacked Nineveh. And then the Babylonians turned on the Medes. And the Babylonians actually said, well, we don't need to be in league with you. And they attacked the Medes. So now it's kind of like the Medes are getting payback. They're coming back and they're gonna take it over from the Babylonians. But over 500 years, the Assyrians had this empire that was so great that nobody thought it would ever fall. And yet it fell under the hand of the Babylonians. And then the Babylonians, Pastor Ethan talked about it last week, how this was the greatest city in the world. Historians tell us through archaeological digs that the wall around Babylon was the most impenetrable defense this side. So it would have been anywhere that was not in Asia. So obviously the Great Wall of China was already around, but or would be around soon after. But aside from the Great Wall of China, this was the most impenetrable defense. The narrowest part of the wall was 32 feet wide. It was impenetrable. Yet in one night, Babylon fell. We sang another song tonight, "The Bible Stands." There's a theory that Daniel is not historically accurate, but the Bible, we believe that the Bible is true. And you know, people tell us that, well, Belshazzar was never the king. Yet Belshazzar was the son of King Nabonidus, who reigned in the stead of his father while his father was out fighting against the Medes. We see this man Darius, who history can't place. History can't place this King Darius, but we do see that King Cyrus, when he was out fighting, when he took over Babylon, Cyrus wasn't there when Babylon fell. He was out fighting in the battlefields. And his general, whose name we're not going to be able to pronounce tonight, was set in command over all of Babylon for a period of, some people say, up to 6 months. So the Bible is true, and we can stand on every word of the Bible because the Bible stands. The Bible, God doesn't give us something that's false. He doesn't give us the wrong narrative. As we talk tonight about this, about being faithful, one thing that we should also remember, this King Cyrus the Great, one of his titles, and it's actually was on the it was written, inscribed on his tomb, was King of Kings. Cyrus's title was King of Kings. And we'll see tonight that there's a true King of Kings, and that's Jesus Christ. We see that now, though, tonight. We're going to look at a few different things from the scriptures tonight. And the first thing that we come across is a new regime. We come across this new regime. Daniel's seen this already. He was there when, he wasn't in Babylon yet, but he was around when Babylon took over. He was brought into Babylon. And now Babylon has fallen, just as God had predicted through the vision to Nebuchadnezzar. And just as Daniel had told Belshazzar after he saw the writing on the wall. Babylon falls. There's a new regime, and now it's under new management. And we see in verses 1 and 2 that Darius, this general, king would be title, and Darius is another title. The word would mean Lord. Darius comes in and he sets up a new government, which is pretty common. And he sets up this new government. He sets up, the Bible tells us in verses 1 and 2, 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and of these princes, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. There's new management coming to town, right? It's kind of like the corporate merger, right? Your company gets bought out, and so now they're going to go through and redo everything, all the rulers. Well, that's what they do. It's interesting, they kill Belshazzar, but they don't kill his father Nabonidus. They send him away. And so they set up these new princes, and they look at Daniel. This King Darius, he looks at Daniel, and he sees something in Daniel right away, immediately. He looks at Daniel in verse number 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. This is the same Daniel that we've seen before. Back in Daniel chapter 5, verse number 12, it's told to Belshazzar, for as much as an excellent spirit, and then a few other things, were found in the same Daniel. Daniel hasn't changed. Though the kingdom has changed, though it's changed hands, though it's switched it up a little bit, though there's a new ruler, Daniel hasn't changed. Remember back, all the way back to when Daniel was taken prisoner with his buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel was faithful then, too. Remember, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And all of these years, 70 years now, have come and gone. And Daniel has remained faithful in a land that he's a stranger in. He's remained faithful in a land that he's a stranger in. Oh, we can take something from that here, can't we? The Bible tells us that we're strangers and pilgrims here. The world is not our home. We're looking forward to our eternal home, and that's heaven. But while we're on this earth, we're strangers. While we're on this earth, we're pilgrims. Are we going to be faithful while we're here? You know, we go through trials, right? We go through difficulties. We go through times of distress, as we see Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We go through these times of difficulties, but will we remain faithful? Will we remain faithful? Will we have that excellent spirit? Is that what would be said of us? I worry that sometimes too many Christians, we don't have an excellent spirit, but maybe we have a, and I'm not speaking about you guys, but maybe we have a down and out, a gloomy spirit. Maybe we have, we live in New England and it's the second day of spring and we get a snowstorm spirit. Maybe I'm not the best to talk about this because it seems to me that I'm always happy. But I really, we struggle in this world because we're pilgrims and strangers. Can it be said of us all the time that we have an excellent spirit? Is that what can be said about us? Think about Daniel, ripped from his home and family. And yet in all of this, he's classified, he's described 70 years later as having an excellent spirit. You know where I struggle? When McDonald's doesn't get my order right. And I struggle to have an excellent spirit. I struggle when things don't go my way. Just recently, it was funny because I reached out to Dennis, but he had something going on, and so I ended up reaching out to Ken. And I had a leak from my toilet, which is not the best place where you want to leak, coming through my dining room ceiling, which is not a good place where you want toilet water flowing. And we had to rip up the entire floor and change everything out. And there were times, and I don't know if Ken saw it or not, maybe he did, but there were times I did not have an excellent spirit about that job. But difficulties come our way and we struggle, right? But Daniel, for 70 years as a captive, had an excellent spirit. He had an excellent spirit. And because of that, he's immediately seen as right away as put as one of the three presidents over these 120 princes. And then the king desires to make him the head over the whole realm. That's amazing. In one night, that's what's seen. This is spoken of as of immediately. This happens almost immediately. So we have, first of all, we have this new regime, but Daniel stays faithful. The same Daniel. Secondly, there's a scheme that's going to come up against Daniel. I imagine Daniel made some enemies over his 70 years in Babylon. Not because of anything that he purposely did, but probably from following God. People probably didn't like Daniel. And we see that here because this isn't a scheme to remove Daniel from power. This is a scheme that, as we know the story, is, well, let's get rid of Daniel once and for all. Imagine, Daniel's probably, he's definitely at least in his 80s at this point. And he's such a threat, quote unquote, to them, that they need to kill him. An 80-year-old man. Look with me at verse number 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then, we'll stop there. We'll stop there. Daniel lived a life above reproach. He's still living a life above reproach. Did you know that in the account that we have of Daniel, there's not one sin mentioned of him? There are very few people in the Bible that such is the case. And we read about many great men of God and women of God, yet there are talks about their sin. If you look at Abraham was a great man. He's the father of our faith, yet there's sin mentioned of him. If you look at Moses, there's sin mentioned of him. He's a great man of God. But there are very few people. Joseph would be one of them who doesn't have sin mentioned about them in the Bible. Not to say they never sinned, because they were human, but there's a specific reason that the Bible doesn't mention these sins. And that's because they're a picture. And they're a special picture. Daniel's a picture of Jesus Christ. He's a picture of Jesus Christ. As we look at his story, he's a picture of Jesus. Daniel lived a life above reproach. Remember in chapter 1, verse number 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself. And the Bible says that because of the choices he made, and because he was able to convince those in charge of him to allow him to follow God's law, that him and his brothers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were 10 times better than the rest. He lived a life above reproach. They come together. They form this council. And they say, we need to find something against this Daniel. We got to find some error where we can have him killed. But they couldn't find anything. They couldn't find anything. And they had to say this. If we're going to take care of him, we're going to have to come up with a better scheme. And we're going to have to get crafty. And we're going to have to make a law against his law, God's law. So that's what they do. They have this determination to destroy him. Look with me at verse number 6. These presidents and these princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree. Well, first of all, that's a lie because Daniel probably wasn't involved in this. I would highly doubt Daniel would be involved in this. So to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Sounds like a good place. You've probably stayed in some hotels when you're traveling. You're like, I think I'm in the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. These guys get crafty. And they go to the king and they play on his pride. This guy just, in one night, toppled the greatest empire in the world by creating this idea to divert a river and go in through the water system. And so, you know, he's probably, you know, pretty arrogant. He's ruling over the city and say, oh, King Darius, we've all gathered together, and to celebrate you and your reign, let's make a new law. Let's say that if anybody prays or asks any petition of any god or any man aside from thee, then they'll be cast into the den of lions. We've all agreed on this. Everybody, every one of us, even Daniel, we've all come together. And King Darius, I don't know what's up with him, but he buys it, hook, line, and sinker. He's like, yeah, I am a pretty great guy. I'm the king of this of Babylon. I'm ruling over this city right now. Sounds good to me. Let's put it into law. And they said, let's make it according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, meaning that once the law is signed, it can't be changed. The king himself can't change the law. He makes the law, he signs it, he seals it with his ring. It can't be changed. These guys are going to great lengths to destroy Daniel. They're going to great lengths to destroy Daniel. It reminds me of David. It reminds me of David. Psalm 3, verse 1. This is David crying out to God, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. You know what we find as we study the scripture and as we study history? That when somebody wants to do the right thing and follow God, when somebody wants to give God their whole heart, there's always opposition. And when you make a decision to follow God and to be faithful to his word, you will face opposition. Opposition will come. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Are you prepared for it? Are you prepared for it? Daniel, we're going to find out, is prepared for it. He saw his brothers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego face it. We don't know where Daniel was at this time, but he's not mentioned in that story, but I'm sure he knew about it. I'm sure they came to Daniel afterward and said, hey, Daniel, did you hear about what happened to us over at the furnace? I don't know why. How many VeggieTales fans are here? But for some reason, the bunny song has been stuck in my head all day. And it's VeggieTales, for those of you who don't know what VeggieTales are. I thought about playing the clip, but I decided I'm not teaching to teenagers, so I need to be mature. It's the retelling of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And King Nebuchadnezzar, King Nezi, he's Nezi, right? Was that his name? I don't remember. Nebuchadnezzar, right. He sets up this ginormous bunny. And they're like, you have to bow down and worship the chocolate bunny or else I'll cast you into the fire. And he has this song. When you hear the bunny song, no, no one? All right, some of us got it. It's all right. Next time I'll bring the clip. But I'm sure he heard about it. There's opposition that, and listen, when you decide to make a priority to bring your family to church, opposition will come. When you decide to stop making excuses for serving God, opposition will come. When you decide to get serious about serving God, opposition is going to come every single time. And the only way that we can overcome it is through the power of God and the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. Daniel was faithful no matter what came his way. Even through this determination, really, this sick determination to destroy him and to kill him, he remained faithful. he remained faithful. The king signs the decree. And we see Daniel's faith. You know, Daniel was determined not to change for his enemies. Turn back to Psalm 1. I thought about this verse as I was putting this together, this point specifically. Psalm 1, and we'll look at verses 1 through 3. By the way, Daniel would have had access to these verses, to these Psalms. They would have been in the temple. They were scripture. Psalm 1 tells us this. In fact, he probably knew it as a song. And maybe Daniel sang this song to himself. And that's not a stretch because David came well before Daniel. And in fact, Daniel is in the very line of David. Because when the Babylonians came in, they took the royal line. They took the boys of the royal line. That would be the line of Judah. We know of somebody else that's going to come from the line of Judah and who has come and will come again. But Daniel probably sang the song at some point. We're not going to sing it tonight, but Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The picture is that the man who follows God will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I've never been to Israel. Most of us have never been to Israel, but we've seen pictures, and we've seen the news, and Israel's in the news a lot. But there are lots of deserts in Israel. Those are two Israel officiants. Is that true? Are there desert? Lots of deserts in Israel? You guys are the only ones who have been to Israel. Deserts? Good, yes? Not a lot of trees. That's perfect. That's all we need. You've been to Israel? Oh, I knew that. Not as many deserts as you thought. Okay, well, you're destroying my point here. There are not very many trees. Okay. Well, let's think back to even the Fertile Crescent, the Mesopotamia, in between the Tigris and the Euphrates, where we know civilization started. Between the two rivers, right? Not a lot of water in deserts. So if a tree is going to be successful in growth, what does it need? Water. Plenty of sunlight, but not a lot of water, unless it's planted by the rivers of water, right? Imagine planting a tree right next to the river, so water is always there. Water's always at the ready. And the roots are going to grow deep, and they're going to grow firm. And that tree is going to be, as the Bible says, planted. It's not going to go. It brings forth fruit in its season. Its leaf doesn't wither because there's plenty of water. And I think Daniel maybe thought about that. He was determined that he wasn't going to change for his enemies. Look with me at verse number 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, okay? So it's not that he's like, oh yeah, I didn't know. Oh, king, I'm sorry. No, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. As he did aforetime. Daniel was not going to change no matter what the consequences were. He wasn't going to change no matter what the law that was signed said. He was going to continue to be faithful to his God. Verse number 11. Then these men assembled. They're waiting outside of his house and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They're stalking him, hoping to catch him. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Daniel wasn't going to change for his enemies, and he wasn't shaken by fear. He wasn't shaken by fear. When he was accused, he wasn't shaken by fear. Look with me at verse number 14. Verse number 14 says this. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him and labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. The king is upset that he was so stupid to listen to them. That's the Aaron Malchuk paraphrase. He was upset with himself, the Bible says. How can I be so foolish to set this law up? I didn't even think about Daniel. And he labors all day to change it, but he can't. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, now, O king, now the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Daniel isn't shaken by fear. There's no protest listed of Daniel. He doesn't say a word. Daniel could have thought, well, if this is it, this is it. You know who else the Bible says didn't open his mouth when he was brought before his accusers? Jesus Christ. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, so opened he not his mouth. There's no protest. No word is said. He's not shaken at all by fear. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Daniel knew this before Timothy was even thought of. All those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Daniel is simply suffering persecution. We say simply, I mean, it was pretty real for Daniel. He was suffering persecution because he was following his God. He was faithful to his God. He doesn't say a word. He just, I picture Daniel walking into the den of lions. King Darius is, he talks to Daniel. He says, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. We'll see that. There's a lot of doubt, actually, in these words as we read a little bit further. But King Darius is upset that it's gone this far, that he's allowed himself to be so foolish. But we know the story, and God delivers Daniel from the den of the lions. God delivers Daniel. Verse number 18. It's funny that the king stays up all night. The king went to his palace. He passed the night fasting. Now, a little bit about the Medes and the Persians. They were not followers of the true living God. They had many gods. The king was considered a god. That's why Cyrus's name was listed as Cyrus the Great, King of Kings. The king was a god. There were many gods that they worshipped. In fact, they built these humongous temples for their gods to come to earth so that their gods could live among men. King Darius spends the entire night fasting. His sleep went from him. Verse 19, the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. Lamentable means sorrowful. He doesn't expect to hear Daniel. I really don't believe he expects to hear Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? More doubt in King Darius. I don't think he really knows what he's going to expect. Verse 21, I think, is one of the bigger understatements in the Bible. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. O king, live forever. Echoing through the chambers of this den of lions. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Verse 23, then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Because he believed in his God. I don't know if Daniel believed that God was going to deliver him from the lions, or if he believed that no matter what, following God was what he was going to do, or in being faithful is what he was going to do. I don't know which one. But it doesn't matter, because Daniel believed in his God. Daniel believed that his God would deliver him either physically here on earth, or he'd die and God would deliver him from this earth and bring him to heaven. Or it would have been Abraham's bosom. I don't know what Daniel believed specifically, but we know for sure that Daniel was faithful to believe in his God. Daniel was faithful to believe in his God. The picture that I get of Daniel going down into the den of lions, he's as good as dead. I mean, these lions are hungry. They probably haven't eaten. And we're going to find out that they are hungry in just a few verses. These lions haven't eaten. And Daniel goes down into the den of lions as good as dead. And then in the morning, Daniel comes up out of that. The stone is literally rolled away, and Daniel comes up out of the den of lions. And we have this picture of Jesus Christ dead on the cross, taken down and laid into the tomb. And 3 days later, the stone is rolled away and he rises from the dead. Daniel was not the Savior, but Daniel pointed to the Savior. And as we look through the history of these kings and these nations rising and falling, we see not just a story of history, we see a story of God trying to claim the heart of the kings and the rulers of the world, as he tries to reclaim the heart of his people Israel. In Assyria, the kingdom of Assyria, God sent a prophet. God sent many prophets, but one specifically to the capital city, Nineveh. He sent Jonah. And Jonah wasn't willing to go. But God arranged the situation a little bit, and Jonah ends up going and preaches what God has him to do. And the entire city, capital of Nineveh, The Assyrians were, of these empires, were the most wicked. The stories that history tells us of them, we can't repeat tonight. The entire city, capital city of Nineveh, repents. And God prolongs their judgment. He waits on it. But the entire city turns to God. God is reaching the heart of the ruler of the entire known world through his prophets. When Assyria falls, we have Babylon. And God sends prophets, not just to Israel, but he sends prophets to Babylon. And who does he send to the king's palace but Daniel? And Daniel is there with not just one king, but King Nebuchadnezzar, King Nabonidus, and then Belshazzar. He's there with these three generations of Babylonians, the rulers of the known world, proclaiming God. And God is working to claim their hearts. And then we see Daniel again in the nation that is now taken over by the Medes and the Persians. And God is working not just to claim Darius, this regent that's set up as king for a short period of time, but then we find that the prophets come to Cyrus, and then his descendants. And then we see, not too many years down the line, God puts in the king of the Medes and the Persians' household, Esther. The Old Testament isn't just about God reclaiming Israel's heart. The Old Testament is about the prophets proclaiming God through the entire known world. The Old Testament shows us that God is not just a God of wrath and just a God of vengeance. He's also a God of love. He is a God that wants to reach the lowest and the highest. And that's why he sets up through his redemptive plan, he sets up prophets in the very kingdom. It's amazing. It really is amazing. And Daniel's faith is incredible. Daniel's faith is what saved him. The Bible tells us that. Because he believed in the Lord his God. He believed in his God. Hebrews 11, verse number 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Stopped the mouths of lions. What incredible faith that this Daniel had, and God is literally placing it in front of the ruler of the entire world. Verse number 24, the king makes a decree. The king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. How many princes were set up? 120. The Bible says that they all conspired against Daniel. 120 men. Cast them into the den of lions with their children and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them. And break all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. Let God fight your battles for you. Let God fight your battles for you. Let God. Daniel never sought vengeance or revenge against these men. God took care of it. God took care of it. We know the lions were hungry because all these people, the Bible says, as soon as they hit, wherever they came at the bottom of the den, the lions pounced on them and ate them. I'm just like picturing, like, my mind is still sometimes the mind of a child, so I'm picturing like this big pit, right? And like literally, guards are throwing men into the pit and they're falling and hitting the bottom of the pit and the lions are just destroying them. That's what I'm picturing. And now so is Trina because she's laughing. But that's exactly what the Bible's telling us, that they get to the bottom of the pit and the lions destroy them. Then the king, King Darius, wrote unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Daniel's then exalted. He prospers. It's a picture of Jesus Christ. It's such a great picture. He goes down into the tomb and he rises, and then the Bible says, wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Daniel wasn't the Savior that came, but he points to the Savior. And Daniel was faithful. Just as God had been faithful throughout history, Daniel was faithful. Well, not just as, because no one can be as faithful as God, obviously. But Daniel lives a life characterized by faithfulness. And he points us to Jesus Christ, who came and was more faithful than anybody ever could be. And he was faithful to death, to die on the cross. And he was faithful to rise again. And now he's faithful, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, ever living to make intercession for us. Daniel's, we're going to hear, we have several more chapters on in the book of Daniel. And God's going to do some great things through Daniel. God's going to show us some really interesting things through Daniel. And Daniel's going to be the first human being that we believe, the Bible tells us, to meet Gabriel and Michael. There's no other mention of them before now. And then Daniel meets Gabriel and Michael. I'm not going to steal whoever preaches that message's thunder. Daniel meets them, and then we see them again when they come to announce the birth of our Savior. It's very, just, our God is amazing, and he's faithful. Daniel was faithful. Will we be faithful? Will we be faithful? When opposition comes, will we be faithful? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for this, Lord, your word. We thank you for this man, Daniel, that we can look at, Lord, and we can look at his life, and it points us to Jesus. God, we pray that we would learn these lessons from Daniel, that, Lord, our lives would be above reproach, that we wouldn't change, we wouldn't be shaken by fear, and that, Lord, we'd have faith that you'd deliver us. We'd allow you to fight our battles for us. Lord, help us to go and to think about this and to meditate on this throughout our week. We pray these things in Jesus' name.